Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Hey, I wonder, let's just get like personal real fast, okay? I wonder if there is a battle that you've been facing, and I bet there is. I don't know what your battle is, but maybe you've been facing it for a long time. It may be, maybe it's like an issue of self-esteem. It could be because of the way your parents treated you growing up, or maybe it's something you don't like about yourself, your body, but you just really struggle to see yourself the way that God sees you. You just have this self-esteem issue, or maybe for you it's an addiction. Maybe, I don't know, drugs, alcohol, food, shopping, smoking, whatever. It's something that you want to stop, and you've tried to stop, but you just can't seem to stop. Or maybe your battle is more like relational in nature. I mean, you want to talk about a battle. This relationship has become a battle. It may be you and your spouse, your marriage, and it's like this ongoing battle. And it's honestly, it's a battle you're afraid you're going to lose. You don't know if you're going to be able to stay married. Or maybe your relational battle is with one of your parents, and just for years now you've had this constant fighting. Or maybe it's with your child. It started out great and things were good, but it's just become this ongoing antagonistic battle. I don't know, maybe your battle is with your finances. It could be a sickness that you're experiencing. It might be anger or depression. But here's what I'm going to guess. Not only do you have a battle, I'm guessing that you're tired of it. You know, you've been going through it long enough. It's been with you long enough. And you start to wonder, like, am I ever going to win this battle? You think about quitting the battle. Maybe it's just not worth, you know, continuing to fight because I know I'm not going to win because I've just been fighting and fighting this battle, and I'm tired of fighting. Well, if that's you, you are here on a really good night. Because what I want to share with you tonight is an entirely different way to think about your battle, a different way to engage in and fight that battle, and I want to give you a way that I think will ultimately lead you to find victory in your battle. So we've been doing this series for the last 2 weeks called AKA God, and we believe here that there is one God. But we see in the Bible that he goes by different names. At different points, there's people who call him different things. And it's kind of cool because each of those names reveals some of who God is to us and teaches us how we can relate to him. And today, we're going to look at the name of God, Jehovah Nissi. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, isn't that a Japanese car? It's like zero, you know, zero down, 2.9% financing, and you can drive out of here in this 2011 Jehovah Nissi. It is not a car. It's actually one of the names that God has given in the Bible. And so I want to show you the story. Let me give you a little context. 2 weeks ago, if you were here, you might remember that we saw this guy named Moses who saw this bush on fire. He goes up to the bush, and God speaks to him from the bush. And God tells Moses that he wants Moses to go to Egypt and confront the Pharaoh, like the king of Egypt, and demand that the Pharaoh let God's people, the Israelites, go out of slavery. At that point, they were in slavery in Egypt. He says, demand that they let you go. And Moses, if you were here, you might remember, said, who am I to do something like that? And who would I tell them sent me to do it? And God says, tell them that Yahweh sent you. And we explore that name of God. It means I am. He said, tell them that Yahweh sent you. Well, what happens next in the story? We didn't look at this. Moses continues to object. He says, okay, so I tell them that Yahweh sent me. How would I prove that? Like, how could I prove that you're the one who told me to do this? And God says, what's that in your hand, Moses? Well, Moses, in his hand, is holding a stick. It's a kind of like a walking stick kind of thing. Moses was a shepherd, and it was a stick that he kind of used to shepherd the sheep. And so he's like, it's a stick. And God says, we'll use the stick. That will be the proof. And that's exactly what God does. God does incredible, miraculous things through Moses and his stick. Like the stick in front of the Pharaoh to prove that God is real and that God really sent him. The stick turns into a snake and then back into a stick. And Moses is able to like do like miraculous kind of things with this stick. And so finally, Pharaoh believes, you know, God has really sent this guy. And he tells all the Israelites that they can go out of slavery. And so they're all like fleeing from Egypt when Pharaoh changes his mind and sends the Egyptian troops running after them, chasing them down. And so they're running for their lives when finally they get to this big body of water, the Red Sea. And Moses is like, oh no, what are we going to do? Because they're behind us and we can't move forward. And he's like, God, what do I do? And God says, the stick. Moses, the stick. Put the stick over the water will part. And so Moses is like, okay. And he puts out the stick over the water, and whoosh, the Red Sea parts, and the Israelites go through to their safety. Soon, they're out in the desert, and they're like marching through the desert, wandering through the desert, and they're dehydrated, and they're thirsty, and there's no water. And Moses is like, what do I do, God? And God says, the stick. The stick, Moses. And there's this rock there, and he has Moses take the stick, and he hits the rock with a stick, and all of a sudden, it's like the Bellagio fountains, man. There's just water starts pouring out of this rock, and everybody's like, whoa, and they're drinking water. And so, like, Moses, the simple guy, and the stick do incredible, miraculous things. And as you might imagine, like, Moses and the stick become kind of like, you know, the thing, you know, for all the God's people, for all the Israelites. Like, you know, he'd be walking down the street and everybody would be like, man, there he is, Moses and the stick. You know, because they had done these incredible things. I would guess that probably people sang songs about the stick. It's like, they're like, it's a grand old stick, it's a high-flying stick. And in the morning at school, kids would line up and they'd say, I pledge allegiance to the stick. You know, the stick was like their deal. It was like, it had become like kind of their national, you know, thing, their symbol, their banner, their like national flag kind of thing. It had become a big thing. But really, it had been used in all kinds of incredible ways. But it was just a stick. Okay? Well, in Exodus 17, we find this story we're going to look at. And what's happening is, it's this just after the story where Moses hits the rock and the stick and the water comes out and they're all drinking and they're happy and everything is good, when all of a sudden the story, we're going to look at this in a minute, takes a violent turn. As they're sitting there in the desert enjoying the water, this invading army of people called the Amalekites come rushing in and they attack the Israelites. Okay? And it's like, whoa, what just happened? You know, we're here, we're drinking, this is good. And all of a sudden, we get attacked. So we're going to look at that story in a minute. But before we do, I want to point out two things. First, I want you to remember the context of where this, when this attack happens. Because remember, the Israelites had just come out of slavery. Okay? They had just experienced freedom. God had saved them. They experienced the salvation of God, saved from slavery. And I'm sure that what they were thinking was, this is awesome. We've had really hard lives, man. We've been living as slaves in Egypt, but finally we are out of there. We are now free, and we're just going to settle in. We are going to enjoy life with God. But that is not what happens at all. What happens is freedom, salvation, attack, battle, warfare. It's like, whoa, like we were supposed to enjoy this. Why didn't we get to enjoy this? But they don't. They're immediately attacked. And I tell you that because that's life. That's just the way life goes, you know? One of my very favorite things about our church, about Verve, is over these last 18 months of us existing as a church, most of the people who come through these doors for the first time, as opposed to most churches, most of the people have been feeling really far from God. They're not people who have been going to church. They're not people who feel like, man, me and God. It's like, I feel really far from God. And I like that because that's how I was. And not only that, but they've been kind of directionless spiritually for a while. You know, it's kind of like, man, I've just been kind of wandering around, and I haven't really been pursuing God. And I was there too, so I understand that. And not only that, but a lot of us, like, came in with self-destructive behaviors, and just our lives were kind of a mess. And again, I remember that. I was there at once. And what happens in this place, it's really cool, is that people feel comfortable. They're like, okay, I can handle this. I can deal with this. And then they start really listening and engaging in what we're talking about. And they start listening to the messages and reading the Bible. And pretty soon they get it. It's like, okay, I get this. And they do this thing where they invite God into their lives. They're like, God, I want you to be a part of my life. And they give their lives back to God. It's like, yes, you and me, God. And it's this great thing. And for a lot of us, what we assume is, this is awesome because my life's been really hard. You know, it's like, it's kind of like I've been in slavery to some stuff I haven't wanted to be in slavery to. And finally, you know, I've come out of that and I'm going to just settle in and I am going to enjoy life with God. Sounds nice, but more often what happens is freedom, salvation, attack, battle, warfare. And it's like, whoa, what happened? Like you give your life to Jesus, you start following him, you become a Christian, and all of a sudden it's like, why am I still so tempted? Like, I thought the temptations would be in my past, but I still feel tempted, maybe even more so. And like, I thought all my relationships were going to get better, but some of them are going bad, and I feel like I'm attacked, and I feel like this is difficult. What happened? What happened is what's supposed to happen. That's what happens, all right? And so when that happens, don't be surprised. And we kind of see that happen here with God's people. The other thing I want to point out is this. The Israelites get attacked by these people called the Amalekites. And if you keep reading on in the Bible, like through the Old Testament, what you find is this is not a one-time thing. These people, the Amalekites, attack the Israelites over and over and over and over and over. Like every couple pages, you're like, are you serious? The Amalekites again? Like over and over and over. And if you're the Israelites, you have to be thinking, seriously? Like, when do they stop? Like, when do we just get past this part? You know, when do we stop getting attacked by the Amalekites? What is going on? And I say that because that's life, right? Because, you know, like that battle. I said, what's your battle, right? And maybe you thought, yeah, I know what my battle is, right? My guess is that battle, if we could read through the pages of your story, of your life story, you'd be like, it's the same thing. Well, like, I am tempted, I am attacked, and I struggle with this battle over and over and over. And when is it going to stop? Like, why does it have to keep coming back and rearing its ugly head? Can I finally just put it in my past? And so what we see here happening is just, it's kind of life. And so let's look at the story. So remember, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 17. If you have a Bible and want to turn there, if you don't have a Bible, you're okay because we'll put the verses on the screen. And if you don't own a Bible, we'd love to give you one. We think that reading the Bible really changes our lives. And so stop by the Velcro bar on the way out. It's our connecting place and just grab a Bible. There's no catch. There's no cost. There's no nothing. Just grab one. We'd love to give you one. So we're going to start in verse 8. They just got the water. They're sitting there. They're enjoying it. Everything is great. And then we're going to read verses 8 and 9. It says, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God. That's the stick, okay? With the staff of God in my hands. Okay, so I want to tell you something that I guess about this story. It's not in here. I don't know it for sure, but I have a good hunch about this story. So what we know happens is the Amalekites attack. You know, the Israelites have never experienced this. This is new territory for them. And so Moses is like, what are we going to do? And then all of a sudden he realizes, I have something incredibly powerful. The stick. We'll use the stick. And so he tells Joshua, you guys go all out to fight, but I'm just going to hold the stick up, you know, when you go into battle. Okay? We know that's what happens. Here's my guess, just a guess. I bet that Moses expected an instant miracle when he held up that stick. You know, when they run out to battle the next day and he holds up the stick, I bet that he expected that as soon as he held up the stick, all the Amalekites would drop dead. Or maybe that they would just have this weird fear that they couldn't explain and all just run away. And the Israelites will all jump up and down and say, we won the battle. We didn't have to do anything. Instant miracle. Why would he expect that? He had seen it over and over, right? He put the stick over the Red Sea, right? He threw it down on the ground. It was always instant. And so I bet he expected it to be instant here, but we're going to see that's not what happens in this story. And by the way, it may not happen in your battle either. So let's look at verses 10 through 12. So Joshua fought the Amalekites, as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Aaron and Hur, just two other guys. As long as Moses held up his hands, right, he's holding the stick up, the Israelites were winning, But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So they're holding up his hands as he holds up the stick. And so what happens here is a miracle, okay? I mean, it's very clear, right? God's doing something, because if the stick is held up in the air, they're winning. When it's lowered and Moses gets distracted from God, they're losing. And so God is divinely intervening in this situation. He is doing something, but it's not the instant miracle that Moses expected, probably, right? It's not so much a microwave miracle. It's more of a crock pot kind of miracle, you know? It's not like, ding, it's ready. It's like, how long is this going to take? You know, I thought I hold the thing up and we're done. But man, I'm holding the thing up and I am getting tired of holding the stick up. And it's working, but it's going slow, okay? And again, I point that out because maybe that's what your battle is going to be like. It may be that you pray and God does something in your life, but maybe it's not an instant kind of thing. Maybe it's more of a day by day by day kind of thing. Well, let's look what happens, verses 13 and 14. It says, so Joshua and all the men, obviously all the troops, overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And so what happens is God gives them the victory, okay? It's not the instant miracle. It takes some time, but God gives them the victory. He does a miracle for them. And then look what happens in verses 15 and 16. It says, Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. He said, for hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. What happens here is that Moses kind of gives God a brand new name. He says, the Lord is my banner, which in his language, in Hebrew, the original language this is written in, is Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah means Lord, and Nissi means is my banner. Okay, so he says, man, I'll tell you who God is. The Lord is my banner. He is Jehovah Nissi. So two questions about this whole banner thing. First question, what's a banner? Like, what does he mean when he says, the Lord is my banner? What's a banner? When you think of that, what you may think of, and you're kind of right if you are, is it maybe kind of like a national flag for a country, or maybe like a college that has kind of a flag and they wave it before games, kind of like that, but a little different. I actually did a little bit of research into what banners were in ancient times, and check this out. A banner in ancient times was not necessarily a flag such as we use nowadays. Often, it was a bare pole with a bright shining ornament which glittered in the sun. A banner was carried at the head of a military band or body to indicate a line of march or the rallying point. So a banner could be a flag, or it might just be a stick, or it might be a pole with a, you know, piece of metal on the end. But the idea was that the banner was something that somebody held, and it indicated the point of battle. It indicated the rallying point in a battle. And so it was like, that's what you kind of follow. That's what inspires you, and you follow it into battle. All right? Kind of like maybe if you remember the movie The Patriot, and it's the Revolutionary War, and there's this one battle scene where the Americans are getting decimated by the English, and the Americans realize we're going to die here, and so they start running. They just start running and retreating from the battle. Mel Gibson's character sees everybody retreating, and that's not okay with him, and so he grabs the American flag out of somebody's hands, and he starts running into the battle. Everyone else is retreating. He's running against the flow, and he's just screaming, hold the line! Hold the line! Waving the flag, and everyone sees this American flag going into the battle, and they all reverse direction, and they're inspired, and they're like, that is right. We're going to follow that flag into battle, and they all follow it, and they go back into battle. Kind of like that. That's kind of the idea of a banner. Second question. We know what a banner is. Second question. What was Moses' banner? What was his banner? Well, the Lord, right? He said, the Lord is my banner, not the stick, right? Not the stick. And I say that because it's really easy to get confused sometimes. It's very easy for us as people to get kind of enamored with the people or the things that God uses, and to sometimes get confused about what the banner really is. You know, sometimes it's easy to kind of look at the stick, which is used to do miracles, and to kind of focus on the stick and not think so much about the miracle worker. And maybe at the beginning of the day, maybe Moses and all the people said, the stick, we've got the stick. You know, we're going to use the stick. But at the end of the day, when they won that battle, there was no doubt in their minds who had given them the victory. The Lord, not the stick. The Lord was their banner. So here's my question for you. What's your stick? What's your stick? Is it possible that you've done this? Like I said, it's really easy those battles that we're facing, all of us, it's really easy to make a stick our banner instead of making the Lord our banner. Okay? So what's your stick? Like maybe for some of you, maybe I'm your stick. Or maybe this church, maybe Verve is your stick. Because you came in here months ago, years ago, a year ago, and your life was a mess, and you've been coming here, and you've been listening, and you've been really, you know, listening to the messages, and you've been learning about God, and maybe it's dramatically changed your life. I know for a lot of you, it has dramatically changed your life. And so maybe what's happened is you started to kind of look to Vince or to look to Verve as that's my source of strength. You know, sometimes, man, I grow weary during the week and I start struggling, but I know that Sunday morning, I know Monday night is coming soon, and that's going to be when I kind of get, you know, re-energized and I get that strength back. Or you look to Vince or you look to Verve as like your source of wisdom. Like when I don't know what to do, man, I just got to kind of go to Verve and that will help me to figure it out. And so maybe Vince or maybe Verve's your stick. Maybe for some of you, it's a maybe it's a support group that you attend or have attended, and so your stick is AA or NA. You'd say, you know, that is what gives me victory and will ultimately give me the victory in my battle. Or maybe for some of you, it's your parents or your spouse or maybe a counselor, you know, this person who has really put you on a right path in life, and you're like, that is the person who has helped me get where I am and it is going to get me to where I need to go. And I am here to tell you tonight that it's not any of those things. None of that is your banner. Okay? Now, that's not to take anything away from those things. Okay? Those are all great things. And perhaps God has really used them in a powerful way in your life, and that is great. Right? Because God does do that. God did use the stick. Right? He didn't need to, but for whatever reason, he chose to use that stick, and it was a great thing, right? I mean, if I was around back with Moses, I would have been, like, totally fascinated with that stick. I would have been like, Moses, is there any chance just one day I can borrow the stick? Because, like, I've got this leaky faucet, and my carburetor's acting weird. Like, I just want to go around and touch things with a stick, you know? So, like, one day with a stick, maybe, you know? But I would have tried really hard, and it would have been hard, but I would have tried really hard to remember it's not the stick, right? The stick is not the one who gives me victory. The stick is not the one who gives me wisdom. The stick is not the one who gives me strength. Nope, the Lord is my banner, not the stick, right? Because after all, it was just a stick, right? I mean, think about it. Where's that stick today? We don't have it, right? Now, it may someday be found on Storage Wars. You know, perhaps it'll be like, whoa, this is Moses' stick. And somebody will sell it for tons of money on eBay. But at this point, we don't have the stick, right? And the reason we don't have it is because it was just a stick, right? It's just a stick. So listen, if you've been struggling with your battle, we all do, right? Do you think it's possible that the reason that you keep struggling and you haven't experienced the victory that you want to experience is because you're looking to a stick. You're looking to a stick. Maybe you've been thinking, man, if I just keep showing up at Verve, if I just keep listening to the messages, if I just keep going to my support group, if I just keep hanging out with my group of friends who support me, if I just keep talking to my spouse, who they're giving me wisdom, if I just keep going to counseling, if I just, and listen, make sure you hear me right. You should keep doing all those things. If God is using that in your life, you should totally keep showing up here. You should totally keep listening to the messages. You should keep going to counseling, keep going to support group. You should keep doing all those things, okay, if God is using them in your life. But they're not your banner. The Lord is your banner. The Lord is the one who will give you victory. The Lord is the one who gives you the resources to fight. He's the one who empowers you, and he's the one who gives you wisdom. So let's go back to your battle. Whatever it is, whatever your battle is, whether it's self-esteem or it's relationships or it's an addiction you're struggling with or it's finances or depression or whatever, what have you looked to as your banner? Really, what have you looked to as the source of strength? You know, when you feel tired and you feel like you can't fight anymore, what do you look to keep on fighting the battle? And what do you look to as, like, your wisdom? Like, when you don't know what to do next, what is the thing that you're looking to for wisdom? What is it that gives you hope? Like, on the days where you think, I am going to someday win the battle, someday I'm going to have victory, what is it that you assume is going to give you that victory? What's your banner? What's your banner? Maybe what you're realizing right now is it's not been God. You know, maybe you believe in God. Maybe you come to church and you sing some songs to God. But honestly, I've been looking to a stick that God may be using, not to God himself. And so let's ask this question. Let's say you were to leave here today convinced, you know what, from now on, I am going to make the Lord my banner. Okay, I'm still going to use the sticks that he throws my way, but I am going to make the Lord my banner. What would that look like? What would it look like for a person to continue to use that stick, but to really make God their banner, to really make God Jehovah Nissi? Okay, let's talk about it. I want to show you a verse that I think kind of gives us a real good idea of this. It's another verse from the Old Testament. We'll put it on the screen. It's Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. It says this: "The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord." That's good. Let's read it again. "The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord." Now, this is talking about a battle, and it's talking a little bit more about like an actual physical war kind of battle. And the idea of this verse is that when you're going into battle, you need to get your horse ready for battle. You need to prepare to fight, okay? And so you need to put new shoes on your horse. You need to make sure your horse is well fed and well rested. You need to sharpen your sword. You need to get your shield ready for the battle. But once you go into that battle, you need to realize victory rests with the Lord. Whether you win or not is going to be up to God, not up to the horse, not up to the sharpness of your sword. It's up to God, right? And if you want an illustration of that, Exodus 17, we already saw one. Great illustration, right? Because if you think about it, God works on behalf of his people, right? The Israelites, right? They have this battle, and he works on their behalf, right? And he gives them victory. But did you notice what God did not do? What he did not say. He did not say, "Oh, the Amalekites attacked. Here's what I want you to do. You guys all go over there and make nachos. I just want you to hang out, play some Yahtzee, get a poker tournament going, just go have some fun. I will take care of the Amalekites. Right? I got this," right? And he could have, right? He could have just kind of went, and they all drop dead, or they all run away and decide not to fight the Israel. Easy. You guys just go make nachos. Not what happens, is it? He says, "Go into battle, and I'll give you victory." And so think about this. If you had watched the Israelites that day, okay, what you would have seen is a group of guys putting shoes on their horses, right, putting the whatever on them, and feeding their horses, and sharpening their swords, and getting out their shields. And then you would have seen them in battle, and you would have seen them riding their horses, and you would have seen them, you know, swinging their swords and shooting their bows and throwing hand grenades and I don't know and blocking with shields, right? And listen, think about this: the Israelites would not have looked different than any other army in a battle. In fact, they wouldn't have looked any different than the Amalekites. Nothing, you wouldn't have seen anything different, okay, from any other army in a battle. But there was something completely different about the Israelites in that battle. What was different was the Lord was their banner. Jehovah Nissi, what was different, right? What was different is that while they're out there fighting, just like any other battle, any other army, they've got Moses up on this hill with two guys holding his arms up, and he's holding up this stick, and he's praying for them. And whenever he's focused on God and the stick is up in the air, they're winning. And whenever he starts to lose his energy and his stick goes down, he gets distracted from God, they're losing, right? Completely different than any other army you would see in battle. But they wouldn't look different at all, would they? Right? What they had done was they had made their horse ready for the battle, but had trusted that victory rests with the Lord. Right? So let's apply this to our lives. What would this look like for us? Okay? So it might look like this. Like let's say you have this battle, and what you're going to do is you're not going to say, God, I'm going to make nachos and play Yahtzee, and you take care of this for me, right? I'm not going to do anything because I trust in you, God, and so you're going to fix my finances. God, you're going to help me to lose weight. God, you're going to fix my marriage. So go to it, do the miracle. That's not what you do, right? What you're going to do is you're going to make your horse ready for battle, but you're going to know that victory rests with the Lord. And so if somebody watched you, you wouldn't look any different from anyone else in your situation. What they would see as you engage in the battle is they would see you walking into a Weight Watchers meeting. They would see you and your spouse sitting down with a marriage counselor. They would see you at your kitchen table working with a budget and trying to figure out, looking at your receipts and figuring out where can we cut expenses and how are we going to get our finances right. They would see you going into an AA meeting and sitting down and confessing and getting support and encouragement from a group of friends. You wouldn't look any different from anyone else in that situation. But there would be something completely different about you in that situation. What would be different is that the Lord is your banner. What would be different is that you are realizing and you are resting in the fact that victory belongs to God. And so what they might not see, but what will be completely different, is before you walked into that meeting, into that session, before you sat down with your budget, you would have prayed. In fact, you would have prayed desperate, needy prayers. You would have prayed, like you would have like lift up your hands to the heaven and like said, I need to keep my hands up there. And you would have said, God, I know that what I'm about to walk into, what I'm about to do is a stick. And God, I pray that it's a stick that you use in my life. And I think it is. That's why I'm here. But God, I know that victory belongs to you. And I know that this stick can't do anything in my life without you doing it in my life. And so, God, I am asking you to help me, and I am praying that you will give me victory through this stick, right? And even during that meeting, you would have looked like anyone else, but there would be something really different about you, because if you really made Jehovah your Nisi, what you'd be doing is you'd be sitting in that meeting, you'd be sitting in that session going, God, help me. God, this is just a stick. It's a good stick. It's helped me. But God, without you, God, make this stick work. God, I need victory. God, I want to win this battle. God, it's got to be you. You're the only one who can give me victory. And you'd be praying just this undercurrent of prayer the whole time. You see what you would have done? You would have made your horse ready for battle, but you would have known that victory rests with the Lord. You would have done what you needed to do to win the battle, but you wouldn't have trusted in a stick. You would have been trusting in God. Does that make sense? And think about this. Let's say that you really, really, you've been trusting in a stick, right? You haven't been praying those desperate, needy prayers, okay? You've been thinking counseling is going to help me. You've been thinking this group is going to save me. You've been thinking this church is going to, right? And so you really haven't been trusting in God. You've been trusting in a stick. If that's you, should God give you victory? Like if you've been struggling with this battle forever, but you're now realizing, I haven't really made God my banner. I've really made something else my banner. Should God have given you victory? No, right? Because let's say he did. Let's say you were trusting in the counselor, the group, the Vince, the church, the whatever, and God gave you victory. What would happen? What would that mean? What that would mean is that you would have learned to trust in a stick, right? And what would happen is you would spend the rest of your life worshiping a stick. That's not what you want to do for the rest of your life, you know? And if you got to that place where it's like, this is what I trusted and I'm receiving victory from it, I mean, if it's Vince, what if I leave? If it's this church, what if you're forced to move away from Las Vegas? What do you do then? Right? But when you really make the Lord your banner, he can give you victory because you learn to trust in and worship God, and he's wherever you go, right? He's always with you. And so, have you really been relying on God for your victory? Really? Really? Now, some of you might say, I have been. Like maybe everybody else says, this may be new to all you guys, but I already knew this, and I've been doing it. I pray those desperate, needy prayers. That's me. I got this. I do this. I guess the first question I'd say is, really? Are you sure? And if you say, yeah, I'm sure, maybe you ask this question. Vince, I have been. I have been praying those desperate needs. I have been relying on God, but I have not experienced the victory that I want to experience. Why? Like, I have been relying on God, so he can give me victory. Why haven't I experienced it? You know? That's a good question. And let me say this. Maybe what's happening is God is giving you victory, but he's giving it to you day by day by day. Instead of this instant miracle you're hoping for, he's giving you kind of the slow brood miracle, just like he did with Moses. Right? God gave Moses and the Israelites victory. It just wasn't instant. It maybe didn't feel like victory, but really, whenever that thing was held up, they were experiencing victory. When it went down, they weren't, but he was giving them victory. They won. It was just little by little by little, right? It was just kind of a slow process. Maybe that's what God is doing in your life. And I'll tell you this, I don't know why God didn't just make an instant thing that day with the Israelites. I don't know. But I do know that God is not capricious and he's not arbitrary. And so he had a reason that day, right? And if that's what he's doing in your life, he has a reason in your life as well. Maybe it's this. Maybe the reason that God isn't giving you the instant miracle you want and instead is giving you kind of the slow day by day one is because maybe if he gave you this instant miracle, this instant victory, maybe you wouldn't rely on God the way you are now. Maybe you wouldn't be needy and dependent with God the way you are now, right? Like let's say there's a person with an addiction. Maybe it's alcohol, I don't know. And every day they wake up. Let's say that they had like a serious problem. They become a Christian. They realize it is a problem. I need to stop. And they do. They stop doing it. And they thought, well, this is going to be easy, you know, and it's going to be freedom and salvation. But it's been freedom and salvation. Attack, battle, warfare. And so like every day they feel tempted and people say, hey, you want to go out and drink? And you're like, man, I do want to go out and drink, but I know I'm not supposed to. And so every day they wake up in the morning, they're like, God, I don't want to fall today. I don't want to mess up, God, and I will without you. So please help me, God. Like, get me through this day. Give me strength that I don't have because I can't do this. Okay. And then throughout the day, they're just continuing to pray. God, help me. God, I need your strength. God, keep me focused on you, okay? Let's say God answered their prayer and gave them that instant miracle, and they don't have to battle that temptation anymore. They're the battle's gone now, right? They get the instant miracle. Is that person still going to get up every day and say, please, God, I can't do this without you? Or are they still going to pray those desperate, needy prayers? Maybe not. And I'll tell you this, that place, that neediness, that desperate sense of dependency on God, that's where you want to be in life. That's where we want to be. That's where God wants you. It's kind of like, I remember when my kids were just little and like when my daughter would get sick and she would hate being sick and I would hate her being sick. But the thing was, whenever she was sick, she would just want to like snuggle with me on the couch. And normally she'd be out playing and running around outside or doing whatever. But when she was sick, she would like just get a pillow and she'd put on my lap and she'd just lay on my, you know, take a nap on the couch on my lap or watch TV or something. And so she hated being sick. I hated being sick, but I kind of liked her being sick. And I was like, I want you to get better, but not too quick because this is really nice. Like, I just like you not running around, just snuggling up with me and just be, this is kind of nice. Like, let's just do this for a little bit longer before you get better. And maybe that's God's attitude towards you. And it's like, I want you to get better, and I'm going to give you victory day by day by day. But I also kind of like it when you snuggle up and you need me and you have to get close to me. So let's keep it that way a little bit longer. So I don't know what your battle is, but I do know you're probably tired of fighting it. And I really believe that what we talked about today gives you a different way to think about your battle, gives you a different way to engage in your battle. You need to do what you need to do, okay? You need to have your horse ready for battle, but victory belongs to the Lord, okay? And I think what we talked about today gives you the potential to actually experience ultimate victory in your battle because the Lord is your banner because of Jehovah Nissi. Let's pray. God, I want to I want to pray for every person in this room, because every person in this room is experiencing a battle. It's different for each of us, and we struggle in different ways, but we're all struggling. And maybe some of us are just really tired of it, really tired of the fight. And God, my prayer is that maybe today our eyes were just kind of open to this idea that maybe there's a reason that I have not experienced victory. Maybe it's because I haven't done the things I need to do. Maybe I need to go to Weight Watchers, get marriage counseling, sit down and work out a budget. But maybe I've been doing the things I need to do, but I focused on those things. I've been trusting in and worshiping a stick instead of making you my banner, instead of realizing that ultimately victory rests with the Lord. And so God, I pray that tonight we leave here and that forevermore, you are our Jehovah Nisi. That we have this new attitude that I'm going to follow God into battle. He is going to be the rallying point for me. He is going to be my source of strength, my source of wisdom, and he is going to be the one I know who ends up giving me the victory, because I can't trust in anything else. Everything else, it's just a stick. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.